Our gospel reading is from Luke in the 11th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who receives, asks, receives, and everyone who searches, finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to all who ask?" In our hearing, our speaking, our living, may God's word of grace abound. Mahatma Gandhi said, "Prayer is not asking, it is a longing of the soul. It is better in prayer to have a heart without words than words without a heart." Martin Luther in the 16th century said, "Pray and let God worry." Soren Kierkegaard, 19th century, said, "Prayer does not change God, but it changes the one who prays." The great Mahalia Jackson once said, "Faith and prayer are vitamins of the soul. We cannot live in health without them." Meister Eckhart long, long ago said, "If the only prayer you said was thank you, that would be enough." And my current favorite is a quote from Lutheran Seminary professor Matt Skinner, who said, "It's a very personal, intimate thing, one's prayer life. Getting started at praying is less like learning how to drive a car or play a banjo or even how to preach. For most, it is most like learning to kiss. You learn some by watching others do it. You should be discerning about whom you allow to teach you. You certainly make mistakes, and maybe you always worry deep in your head that you might be doing it wrong." I like that. "When you pray," Jesus says. So when you pray, how do you pray? Do you have a vibrant and fulfilling prayer life, practices that are familiar to you, cherished? Do you pray? Have you given up on prayer, or has it evolved into something very, very different than it used to be for you? Do you find solace in challenge or frustration or courage or hope? For some, praying makes sense for a while, and then it doesn't, and then it doesn't. It does again. It kind of has seasons to it. And as with all things, no matter where you are on life's journey and where you are in regards to prayer, you are most welcome here, and you are not alone. The disciples knew how to pray. They've been raised up on Sabbath prayers and in the home and at synagogue. They had memorized portions of the Torah, had heard countless prayers of rabbis, so I doubt they were asking for a new technique or formula. And they certainly weren't expecting to receive a prayer that would last the ages and be one of the things that binds Christians across the world together. I do think they had witnessed something in how Jesus prayed, how he communicated with God. There was something they saw and heard, an intimacy, a depth, a closeness, a sense of belonging and authenticity. They saw what difference it made in his life. In his words, his silences, his being, they experienced his clear desire to see God's reign come to full fruition, and that drew them in, called to them, making them want to know more. Teach us to pray, someone wrote, is about equivalent to show us your heart, or tell us what is it like to be in close communion with God. And what Jesus offered them was far more than just a collection of words, an arrangement of lines. He offered to them and to us a way of thinking about God, of teaching them who God is and how God operates in this world. Jesus' prayers, and this prayer in particular, reveal his confident trust in a God who is beyond our full knowing, whose vision for all creation is one worth working for and participating in, a forgiving God who expects us to forgive, a generous God who expects us to be generous. What do you believe to be most true about God? Start there. Whatever your assumptions, expand them, Jesus says. Assume God is bigger and better than any human parent, more loving than the most loving human being you can imagine. Focus on God who is already present, he teaches. Trust matters more than belief. Give thanks. Be bold and persistent. The word's actually shameless. Be shameless in what you ask from God. Ask for hard stuff like forgiveness. Make prayer both personal and global. It's quite a lot in one prayer. Sometimes we cannot pray because we're too hurt, too angry, too afraid, too confused to even begin. Sometimes we have a very hard time praying because the God we're praying to is too small. We don't believe in the same way we used to, and our prayers haven't figured out how to catch up. If you are longing for a more intimate connection with the Holy, there are ways to get there. Cultivating a practice of silence. Pray while walking or running or driving or dancing or painting or writing. Use the ancient prayers of the church or ancient practices like Lectio Divina. Use modern meditation apps on your phone. You really, really can't pray. Let other people pray for you. I often tell people, if you feel too angry or hurt or sad to pray, one of the simplest and best ways to keep praying is to simply say the name of God and the name of the person that you are upset with, or the situation, or the one you're afraid for. And just repeat God's name and the name of the other as though you are presenting them to each other. We are blessed here with a number of spiritual directors who are wonderful, who are trained, and who would be glad to help if you would like to talk to one of them. I posted on Facebook a request. I asked a question of people. I asked them, has your way of praying, if you're a praying, meditating person, has that changed for you in the last 2 years? And I was just so moved by all of the responses that are still coming in, and people who are saying they are praying more and more for justice, for healing, for peace. They are trying to release to God what they can't control or deal with or say grace over. Many of the responses reminded me of the opening lines of the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. There's the one very honest friend who said, I just curse more. I understand that too. But I do believe the number one gift that people of faith can give to themselves and to the world right now is prayer. Intentional, active, relative, consistent, persistent, shameless prayer. Because my assumption is that Jesus is right, that to be in an intimate relationship with this God means to be drawn into the activities of feeding and healing and forgiving and working to bring about God's reign on earth. To be in prayer, no matter what form, is to stay centered, to stay sane in a chaotic world, to find strength to go on loving God's world. I believe prayer is critical right now. I know it has become something of a meme, a joke of thoughts and prayers don't mean anything. But prayer is critical. I know it is for me. Beautiful words of Psalm 138 that Linda read are words I come back to frequently. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. Your steadfast love, O God, endures forever. When my energy, when my spirit is low and I'm struggling to hold on to hope, words like that bring me back to reality, to God's reality. I don't pretend to understand all the inner workings of prayer. I only know I need it like I need breath. The UCC minister and friend of ours, Kate Huey, tells of how she spent much of her life afraid of water, refusing to learn how to swim because of something that had terrified her as a child at a pool. This continued until she went to a pool with her son, who was 10 years old at the time and was quite an excellent swimmer. He couldn't stand it that his mother was afraid to put her head into the water, and he decided he was going to teach her how to swim. Kate writes, he hung onto the sides of the pool. He shivered as he gave me my instructions. Mom, the thing you need to do is relax. If you draw a deep breath and totally relax in the water, it will hold you up. You'll float. You just got to trust me. Just do this. And he gently went forward into the water and floated right in front of Kate. She continues, I don't know if 40 years of being afraid were finally just too much, or if I couldn't resist that shivering little guy with the big blue eyes. But at that moment, I let go of years of fear and tension and fighting against the water. And I scrunched up my eyes, took a big breath of air, and then eased myself forward into the water. And it held me up. I didn't struggle or tense up. I could feel myself floating, and it was incredible. It was the beginning of my son's teaching me how to swim across the pool, my head down and the water no longer making me afraid. Sometimes the best prayer is to simply let go. Let go of the arguments, the overthinking, the frustration, the questions, the solutions, and simply float. To trust enough in a power greater than who we are, and to rest in that power, that healing presence. There is something powerful in a simple prayer that lasts more than 2,000 years, albeit in different versions. It's inspired other beautiful renditions, not to replace it, but to hear it anew. So I want to leave you with an expanded paraphrase version of the Lord's Prayer from the New Zealand Prayer Book. And I want to invite you, if it's comfortable for you, to close your eyes, to float, to rest in the one who loves you without condition or hesitation or limit, and to hear anew this ancient prayer. Our Creator God, Ancient of Days, Holy Mother of all worlds and living souls, your arms that once flung galaxies of stars like grains of sand are open wide and close enough to carry each of us like a father cradles his child next to his heart. May your sacred name be praised. May your realm extend a commonwealth of mercy, peace, and justice. Your love knits all created nature into one whole. Your will for us always is love. And so we pray, may your love be done on earth in time as it is in eternity. Give all of us each day the bread we need, and hope to all who hunger for your life. And as we share our bread along the way, pardon us the times we've broken faith. Forgive our lack of loyalty and love, and move us quickly to forgiveness when wrongs are done to us. Do not abandon us in the time of hard testing. Save us from evil's every incarnation, from the powers that possess our spirits and our structures. Forever bind us to your liberating joy. For you alone are God of grace and glory, rock of our redemption. Let it be so, God. Let it be so. Amen.